Well, we want to welcome you to the Awakening Moments podcast today. I am here with Rhonda, and we have the opportunity to unpack another powerful conversation together. And it's interesting as we come up with the content for this podcast, right? What do we talk about? What does the Lord want us to talk about? And I think it might be fun to do a little mini series, on the Lord's Prayer, unpacking the power of how Jesus taught us to pray and just going through it even line by line to really break down what are the elements of the Lord's Prayer? Why is Jesus teaching us to pray that way? What are the elements that are in the Lord's Prayer that God is asking us to pray about and consider? And then what are the implications of that as we kind of walk that out? I mean, the Lord's Prayer is very known. It's very popular. If you're raised in Catholic school, you know, you pray it. I mean, it's a very well-known thing, but I don't know if we always take the time to really go to understanding why each part of the prayer is there and what it represents for us. So that's what I thought we could dive into.
I think that'd be amazing. Honestly, yeah? I really am looking forward to this.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
All right. That's awesome. Well, I thought we could start at the section in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, where it literally is called the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus starts by giving us a warning. And so I'm just going to read it, and then maybe we can unpack a little bit about, you know, what do we think he's actually trying to warn us against? What does this mean? And then how do we walk this warning out even before we get to coming to prayer? What is Jesus warning us? So it says this: "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So any thoughts? What stands out to you from that portion of reading?
Well, what stands out to me, Lori, I think is really clear to say, like, God is not condemning here public prayer. It's not like God is saying, don't pray out loud, only behind your... It's more about the reasons and the motivation for your prayer. That really is what it's about. So what he's addressing here is like you're praying for attention or praying for people to look at you or look at you being so important or so spiritual versus actually praying.
So impressive.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of praying to spend time with God, like actually bringing it to God with a posture of humility and a posture of, that's what it is, of talking with God versus talking to God for others to see you. That's a very different clarification. So I want to make sure like people listening don't understand, like, it's not bad to pray out loud. We have prayer all the time that we pray in a mic, we pray in front. But it's with the posture of heart that people wouldn't be looking to us or someone we're more spiritual by the way we pray. We're praying to God, to be with God and to bring him into our situation. So I think that's what kind of stood out, those very important things. And also I think religious, you know, oftentimes when I think about religion, growing up, we were raised in the Protestant church. We always thought religion was other religions. Isn't that funny? Like I always thought people being religions were other even denominations or other religions, but actually you can be religious in any denomination.
Right.
Because it becomes like a form.
Forms.
Yeah. And just having a form versus the intensity of the heart of humility. Once again, it's about the heart and the posture of heart that God sees the motivation. And even though it's broken, that's what he's speaking to. He's speaking to that motivation of the heart.
Yeah. No, it's so true. It's so true. And I mean, you have to remember too, what Jesus is addressing here. He's addressing a religious culture, like what you just said, that had many forms in it. And so the religious or righteous thing to do would be to stand up in the street corners and to pray out loud. And this was like the people who were revered. These are the people that were most respected. And also religion and politics were kind of connected. So these would be your leaders, your political leaders, like all of these things were sort of intertwined into each other. And so it was definitely like a different context in a different time. But in the same way, it can be confusing because we do public prayer. We pray from the front at church in a microphone. We gather groups of people and we pray out loud together. We invite people forward and pray for them one-on-one. And obviously, the more you grow in your faith, the more you read the scriptures, the more you practice praying for people, the more comfortable you're going to get praying, praying the words of scripture, praying out loud, praying for people. And it can sound to somebody who has less experience praying out loud like this impressive thing, like, oh my goodness, they're such a good prayer. I mean, you see this all the time, or you hear this all the time, people who have this incredible eloquence in the way that they pray. And it can almost, like, I feel like we as humans almost elevate that in a way to say they're more spiritual than I am, right? Because they can pray that way. And this is sort of how we fall into the trap of the same thing that Jesus was warning. Like, we don't want to fall into the trap of looking at people and being impressed by their many words, being impressed by how they can, like, string some words together in a prayer, or how they can seem to pray exactly what I need, or how they can pray the word so beautifully and powerfully, or how they can pray with such authority. Like, we're not meant to be impressed by them. We're not meant to be impressed by what they're saying and looking to them. It's all meant to elevate us to God. And I think the danger in this space is, you know, if there's jealousy, or if there's, like, insecurity or anything like that, like, we can fall into believing, oh, they're just showing off, or they're just, or we begin to question their motives. But I think it's really, really, we have to be really careful, because we don't know somebody's heart. Like, we really, really don't. Now, there's always discernment, and we can always sometimes sense if somebody maybe is doing something for attention or doing something to receive praise. You can kind of pick that up sometimes, but I think we just have to be careful on the judgment side, because at the end of the day, like, God judges the heart. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to prayer, and especially prayer in public settings, I'm really, like, specifically addressing prayer in public settings. I think we just want to avoid even allowing our hearts to go to the place of, oh, that person is just trying to impress us, like those kinds of judgments, or the other side of that, I'm so impressed by them. Wow, I wish I could be like that. Wow, I'm so impressed by the way they pray. Wow, they must be so spiritual. Wow, they must be so holy. And it's, maybe they are and maybe they're not, but it's not the point. We're not supposed to elevate them. We're supposed to be being elevated towards who God is, to what God can do. That's what prayer is all about. It's about turning our eyes and our attention off of, like, what we have right in front of us in the natural, and lifting it up to heaven, to what is possible in the heavenly realms. And so I think that's also, if we pull that warning into just a today context, those are some of the things I think we can pull out of it.
I love that. And I just love it. Even says, like, and when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. So once again, God is getting back to the point, like, God sees everything. Like, he sees those big pious prayers, that if it's from the wrong motivation, God sees it. And for those, like, it just shows, even behind closed doors, God sees, like, God sees it all in the simplest of prayer, and he will reward you. And the beautiful thing is, I know we've talked about this before, but God will reward you. And it's not always in what we think. It's not always because if you go behind closed doors and you don't pray out loud and you do it secretly, that's God going to give you what you want. We're not even saying that. We're just saying God will reward you with his presence. He's going to reward you by answering you in the way he does sovereignly. But there is a humility to that. And I think this is what it's contrasting. It's contrasting someone doing it in public for attention, some doing it privately because they really want to just bring it to God out of humility, and God's rewarding them. It's not a matter of, well, if you do it in public and if you do it behind, God's going to answer you behind closed doors. It's not in public.
Right.
He's contrasting the posture and the motivation, that the motivation in public for this contest was exactly what you'd refer to. And the private was, it's because that's exactly the posture that we should have in public and private. It's that exact thing, like, God, we need you, and we're bringing you into our private lives. Whether people are listening to my prayer or not, I am coming into a place of dependency and humility for you to see, because you see all things, and shine a light because you see all. Expose the motives of my heart, bring it up to light, and you'll reward and you'll do what you see fit. But it's a place of humility. So I love those two contrasting. It's like they're taking the opposite extremes, but it's about the heart. It's not necessarily about where you pray, what situation you're praying in. It's about the heart of the prayer.
I love that. I love that so much. Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit deeper. So, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's just like unpack that even a little bit deeper. One of the things that came to mind when I read through that the first time is, you know, often what happens behind closed doors, what happens in secret is really the true authentic self is allowed to come to the surface. It's also the place where the real character development happens. Like, it's like you can't get up on a stage and just tell people what to do if you're not actually with authority, with true authority, if you're not actually living that out in private already. Like, you can say lots of words, but again, there's an emptiness to just words. There's a power and there's an authority that comes when you live out in secret what then comes out in public. And so part of me just thought about the inner work of the soul that happens when you shut the door and you go in secret and you spend time with your Father and you spend time with God that nobody sees, that nobody hears. It actually creates the environment for you to connect with God for no other reason than to connect with God. Like, there's there's no other external motivation. There's nothing else that's sort of drawing you into that place. You literally just have you and the presence of God. And I've heard people talk about like having a prayer closet, having like a secret place that they go to pray, like actually taking this in a very literal sense and like creating a space, an environment space where when they go to this place, I remember when I was like had young kids and like they're just everywhere all the time, like you really don't have any space. But I remember,
has anything changed, Laura? I don't even know.
I mean they're still all around, but they spend more time in their rooms. Quiet time.
We love to joke about our adulting children. Yes, we love them,
but I can get up in the morning now and they're not up at that time.
Yes,
so,
true,
so
true,
that's the
true.
One time that I get that they're not up, whereas when they were babies, oh my gosh, you're like five, they're waking you up.
Yeah, then you had the nighttime, but then you fall asleep, so that's
yeah exactly. But I remember going into my walk-in closet, like I remember putting a little cushion on the floor, and I remember putting like scriptures up, like taping them on the wall, and that would be my little prayer sanctuary, just where I felt like, okay, nobody can see me here, and I could just go and be quiet for a minute and just be with God. Like it was a literal place. It's not like that anymore. I don't need that. Now I can have that quiet time in the morning. But it's interesting, right? This idea of setting aside a time and for it to be in secret. For it to be in secret. The secret place with God.
And you know what's really cool too? I just like, even you just saying this, I think it's really cool if you can. Not everyone can, but it's really cool when you do have a space that you go to. You know, there are spaces in your house that you're just like, you eat at the table. Maybe you don't. Maybe you eat all over the place. But yeah. You know, there is something
about
this.
Most people have their seat at the table.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys all have your seat?
Yeah, we all have a seat. And even at church.
And do you sit in the same seat every time?
We're in a new house.
So
we're still kind of figuring out our seats.
You don't know your
seat? Not really. I guess not really our seat yet. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But it's true. Yeah. It's like you kind of have your spaces that if you can, it is really neat when you develop like a place. And I know I don't have it yet in this house, but in my older house, I had a room. Well, I do have a place in this house. I just have, it hasn't a lot of history yet. But in my old house, in my bedroom, I had two chairs and I would sit and I would pretend Jesus was on the other side. Well, not pretend. I would talk to him.
Yeah.
Like, sitting right there and have this conversation. And it was like my room. I would close the door and that was my place. I would spend the most time with the Lord. I mean, prayer happens all the time everywhere, but I'm talking about that intentional time of saying, I am stealing myself away. Like, I am intentionally setting this time. And so if you've never done this, you know, it's a beautiful thing to say like, this is my space. I'm going to create kind of this place is like my little altar. Because even in the Old Testament, they had places they would put an altar to remember what God had done when he had met with them, when he had done something. This is my altar. Right. This is my place in my house that I come intentionally every day to spend time with God because this is my altar. This is my place. And if you don't, that's okay. You are you're living with God. But it is a beautiful thing when you do have a routine like that, that you do go to a place. It is really special.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is. You don't have to, but
no, I love
it. If you've never thought of it, I know a lady that used to actually pour a cup of tea. Like, she used to actually like make it like a real, like we're having tea together. And it was, I know. I remember her telling me that, being like, She'd pour a cup of tea for herself and pour a cup of tea and put it right out. I know my mother-in-law used to light a candle. It would be like the light of the world. It was a very symbolic thing for dinner. She would be like, I'm welcoming, or having like my devotions. It was like a candle. So it's a beautiful thing when you start to just, not out of religion, but out of this acknowledgement of like, you're here, you're real. Like, this is not just out in the air. Like, you're with me right now and you have my attention. So really special.
That's so good. Okay
there's that was one a tangent.
No it was beautiful. No I love that there. I love that encouragement. Okay there's one other line in this scripture that I think stands out that we can just talk about as we prepare to close. I love the very last line, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now this says this, like, this is written right in the scriptures. This is Jesus talking, he's teaching on this. And so if your Father knows what you need before you even ask him, why pray? That's what people ask. That's the question that comes with that statement. I mean, it's a beautiful statement. It's so comforting. It's so comforting to actually be known to the place where you don't even have to ask. Your Father already knows what you need. Like, that's a beautiful, beautiful space. But then some would say, why pray then? Why do we need to pray? What is the practice or the purpose of prayer if our Father already knows what we need before we ask? What would your thought be?
Well, the part of it is the confession and bringing it with awareness to God, like a dependency.
Right.
It's one thing that God knows. Yeah, but it's another thing for me to acknowledge it and to talk about it.
There's a beautiful partnership in it too,
there
right?
There is an exchange. Absolutely. It's not one-sided. Like, God just knows, so I just stay quiet and let God do what he's going to do. There's an exchange. There's a bringing of intimacy. And I think also prayer is meant for us to be aware of our fragility and a place of confession and repentance, but also like, God, I need you. And this is what I'm facing. It says, cast your care upon the Lord. All through scriptures, it tells us to verbalize it because we have to get it out. It's a beautiful place to pour out our anxieties, our fears, our insecurities, our praise, all of it, to bring our whole self to God, not just our mind. Like, he wants our whole self to be engaged, and also to partner that when God answers things, be like, oh, we talked about that last week. It's this beautiful relationship model that God's bringing into our prayer life. I believe this is why the reason God tells us, and then Jesus tells us how to pray. And when you look at it, it is very intimate, the prayer that he gives. It's very much bringing God into every aspect. And we're going to cover that, but beautiful ways of bringing God into our lives. What do you think, Lori?
Yeah, no, I think that there's some interesting frustrations in the practice of prayer, because sometimes, I don't know if you've found this, but sometimes I found myself in seasons where I'm struggling through something, or there's a circumstance that I don't like, or I'm in a trial, or I'm waiting for something to come through, or I need a healing for something or someone I love. And I'm really like, I'm diligently praying through it, but I'm frustrated. You're frustrated. And often I feel like my prayers can end up being complaining sessions. They can be like, God, why is this happening? Or I can't believe I'm in this situation again. Or I can't believe this person's doing this again. And it'll just be an actual, like, I'm having a conversation with a best friend, but I am complaining about, you know, all of what the realities are. And I can't believe they did this. And how could they be like that? And da, 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 da. And I'm just working it out. I'm just working it out. And what I've realized is that if I stay in that place in my prayers, I think that's a healthy practice. I think that to take all of those frustrations and all of those disappointments and all of those hurts and all of those burdens to God is a safe place, and it's a beautiful thing. But I think it also can be dangerous, because if I sit in that place and I stay in those frustrations and I stay in those disappointments and I stay in that discouragement, I don't actually reap the benefits of prayer. Because I think that prayer is designed to elevate our heart and our eyes to the awesomeness of God, to the goodness of God, to the faithfulness of God. So praise is really important. Mm-hmm. Gratitude is really important. And I mean, important in not just the sense of like, you know, oh, these are things we're commanded to do or we're supposed to do as good Christians. Not like that. It's important for our mental health, for our healing, for our wellness, for us to be able to move through the difficult trials of our life. Because if I think about this relationally, like when I get frustrated or annoyed in relationship with Jason about things he's doing, all of a sudden those annoying things just keep getting bigger and bigger, and it's all I can see. And we can do the same thing with God. When we let our circumstance dictate all of what happens in our prayer life, then those things become really, really big. They become the focus and we feel like God is not doing anything. We feel like he's not moving. It's a frustrating thing. And then what ends up happening, and it happens to all of us, is we just stop praying. We actually just stop doing it because there's no benefit. There's no like actual help that's coming. But we have to come to God and we have to do it in such a way that we are bringing our praise, that we're acknowledging his preeminence over everything, that we're acknowledging, you know, his goodness and his kindness towards us, that even when we don't see it, that we trust that he's working. Like these confessions are so important to help us to elevate our selves above our circumstances and not sit in just the disappointment. Now, sitting in it, processing it with God, all of that is super, super important. But, and this is where I think the importance of why do we need to pray? Like, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The thing is, we come to God with our, what we want him to do for us in prayer. That's what we do. We go, God, I want you to bring healing in this situation. I want you to break through my finances here. I need this. Like, and it's very specific a lot of times too. Like, I want this relationship reconciled. I want this bill to be paid. I need you to bring money in. Like, they're very, very specific practical things. And if we just stay in the natural and we just stay in the earthly space, we often cannot see what God's at work doing. But if we can actually come into prayer, we can praise him, give him his authority, give him worship, speak to his character, speak it out like we believe it, like actually it is who he is. See it, recognize it. All of a sudden, we actually get lifted above. And then if we can come in a place of gratitude to begin to say, like, God, I see that you're at work here. I see that, you know, even though today in this circumstance is unbearable, like I got through this day. Thank you for helping me get through this day. I woke up and I had breath this morning. The sun is in the sky today. It doesn't, like, these don't have to be big things, but just recognizing that there are little gifts and there are little things all along the way that God is at work doing, and they're for us. They're for our benefit. But prayer can be a frustrating thing back and forth. And I think that we can trust that God knows what we need. And when we elevate him above our circumstance, then we receive the full benefit of the practice of prayer. So number one, yes, bring all your complaints, bring all your requests, everything that you are believing God for, but don't just leave it into the realm of your own understanding. Actually allow God to elevate you to his understanding, to his character, to what he wants to do, to his love, to his joy, to his peace, to his provision in your circumstance, and then thank him. Thank him for being with you. Thank him for the time that you spent with him. Thank him. And honestly, you will leave your prayer time different than when you went in, but it's the only way. Like, we can't just sit in that hardship, right? Because that's where we just end up complaining and there's no life in that.
Well, that is a really powerful word, Laura, honestly, and a wonderful practice. It's so true. Like, the power of praise and the power of gratitude. Like, even, I know we've talked about Thanksgiving journals or whatever it may look like for you. Maybe you just are really having a tough time finding something to be thankful for. Start your day out, bring it all, and then close your day. But even if you could bookend.
Simple practices.
Bookend each prayer with praise and Thanksgiving. Just bookend it. Each one. Like, when you have that intentional time, just bookend. So the first thing you do is, like, praise them and then present everything you need to, whatever God puts on your heart, and then end with a thanks. Do the same before you go to bed. It's incredible when you start, like you said, once again, that posture of humility, but also elevating God. That's a beautiful practice that you brought up. So really, really powerful.
I love it. So
there you go. I love it.
Yeah. As we close today, we just want you to leave remembering that your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
So,
and may
good.
That be a comfort to you today. Not like, what's the point of praying, but may it be a comfort to know that even more than what you think you want, your Father knows what you need, and you can trust him in that. You can rest in that. You can trust him in that. And just, like, in your prayer time, crawl up on his lap and just rest your head and know that he knows what you need, and he is working on your behalf. You can trust him. He's so good. He's so kind, and he loves you more than you could ever know.